Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Hour 2 of Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. We got the good, the bad, the dumb coming up this hour. I'll also talk some golf. Colin Morikawa, big eagle putt on 16. He wins the PGA Championship. It is the first major of the year. And here we go. We got the U.S. Open still on tap for Winged Foot. And then we've got the Masters coming up in November. No British Open this year. That's too bad. It's one of my favorite events. But nevertheless, we're still going to get the other majors in. So he wins his first major championship. He's another young gun kid who can play really well. I mean, these guys are just, I mean, they're growing up. It's a weird thing. I mean, you just see guys, and you know, we've seen 20-year-olds, you know, 21-year-olds play really well. I just feel like it's always been like this upspring of young talent that comes in at a young age. He's 23. It's only his second major he's played in. And he's now a PGA champion winner. Matthew Wolff, 21. He was a couple of shots back, posted the number everybody wanted to shoot. This was a fun day, even though there was no crowd. And that's the thing. Listen, I know we all have to live in a world where walk-off home runs, like the Red Sox had at Fenway Park, are not going to be, you know, filled with the roar of the crowd or the anticipation of the pitch, or in basketball, the three-point shot or the late run a team makes is not going to have that same feeling because of the crowd. In golf, you absolutely do not feel the energy. That's the weird part about watching a golf tournament on TV. You can really sense no energy at all coming. Morikawa's shot on 16, the driver that lands 7 feet from the hole, would have driven that place bananas. Absolutely bananas. For a guy to make that kind of bold stroke, bold shot on 16, I think that place would have lost its mind if that was filled like a normal PGA championship. And instead, it is subdued to the normal excitement of just the few people that were around having to do something with the tournament. It does make you miss crowds. I know we're in a different world, and we may not have them back for a while, but man, you do miss it. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. It is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio Network.
At the SportsMap Radio Network, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code SportsMapRadio for 20% off. Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb, the Monday edition. And boy, we've had a weekend of all of that, haven't we? But let's get the good of the day so we can start the week off right.
You know, I mean, there was so much good to choose from.
Oh, good. I'm glad that happened.
There was. But I have to stick with our man, Phil.
Oh, Phil Mickelson?
Yeah.
Hey, he's my man.
Now, there was this moment on the, I don't know which day it was, where he just was going on and on about his coffee. Did you catch that?
I saw some of this.
I mean, a little psychotic, but awesome.
He's in love with this coffee. Whatever he's doing with it, he's crazy about it.
He is. But there was something else that I thought was just classic Phil. He joined Jim Nantz and I'm forgetting the other guy's name.
Nick Faldo.
Nick Faldo, thank you. For a little fireside with Phil, or Phil Fireside Chats or something. I can't remember what it's called. And he shared this.
Phil, great to have you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. There's three things I do well: play golf and talk golf.
What's the third then?
Ah, Nick.
You said three things.
Yeah.
You were setting him up.
Anyway,
leave that to your imagination, dear boy.
he just see what I love about you. Can't get anything past Nantz.
No, Nantz knew immediately what Phil was going for, and Nick Faldo had that.
And I don't know what you're talking about. What is this?
What's the third thing?
What's the third thing?
He said three. He said,
in Great Britain, we don't understand jokes.
Talk golf, play golf.
What else? What possibly could you be talking about?
Is it choosing golf courses? What could it be?
What else? Architecting golf courses? What is this? What are you talking about? That's great. I love Phil. He did a great job.
He did. You know what? I mean, another career.
I think he
has the charisma to do it. Once his playing days are over, maybe it's who was it? It was
David Faraday.
David Faraday.
Yeah.
You know how he had like a little golf talk show that was going on?
Yeah, Phil could do that.
Phil could do that, and I think Phil would do it better.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of stars have gone down this road where they've done really well. Like Jeff Gordon is turning into a really good NASCAR broadcaster.
Yeah,
really good.
A-Rod.
A-Rod's doing a really good job too. I mean, some of these guys you don't know. Like you think, oh well, you know, if they step into the broadcast booth, could they do a good job? Phil, you always felt like he would do it because he's very personable. And he's in his interviews, he's really good.
And he's self-deprecating
smooth,
too.
He's self-deprecating.
He gives that feeling that he is every man.
Yeah, as self-deprecating as a guy could possibly be who owns a G7.
Right, right.
Right? I mean, that's,
you know,
or
has calf muscles for days and
that's
doesn't
right.
mind flexing them.
Yeah.
He might look at Bryson DeChambeau and his arms. He's like, yeah, but you ain't got these buppies.
He's got that he's got that situation where, remember, he's got like that arthritis.
Yeah.
He does those ads for some company that helps with this arthritis. He says this coffee is a life changer, whatever he's putting in it. Whatever his coffee brand, he says it's a life changer for his arthritis and other things for a 50-year-old.
Think about it. Wasn't he involved like in some tax evasion, IRS scandal?
He had some situation where he was playing golf or he knew a guy that was giving him short stock sells.
And we don't ever.
They kind of cleared him with it, but it was a little shady.
Yeah, but but it's one of those things that it's a non-issue.
Right.
And when we think about his life.
Yeah, the FBI actually showed up at the memorial one year in Ohio to talk to him about this. And they cleared him, but the FBI showing up, no matter for what reason, is never a good thing. It's a little scary.
Unless it's, you know, to come to you and say, hey, did you know you didn't claim your $1 million?
Yeah, exactly.
Which that would never happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, Phil's got a career. If he wants it, I mean, he might be like, listen, I want to do some other stuff.
Yeah. I just want to take my plane and play every golf course in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
To me,
and here's before we get to the bad, to me, I would think it would be hard. Like when I watch a NASCAR broadcast, I wonder how much does it kill Jeff Gordon that he is not able to drive anymore? Like he does not compete anymore.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Nick Faldo. When Nick Faldo does he go, God, I wish I could be right where these guys are right now
but
in the middle
does,
of all this. Or do you reach a point where you go, I did it and I don't do it anymore.
Well,
that's it.
But I mean, it does keep you within the sport.
Yeah.
Which is always good. I mean, you're still talking about the sport. It's like you're a part of it still. And maybe that's it. Maybe they just want the camaraderie.
That's true. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, the NBA.
What did they do now?
Okay. Draymond Green was, he mentioned, he had some comments about Devin Booker of the Suns.
Right.
And because,
I saw this, yeah.
And because of these comments, I'll play them for you in a second. He got fined $50,000.
It's great to see Book playing well and Phoenix playing well, but get my man out of Phoenix. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career. Sorry, Chuck, but they got to get Book out of Phoenix. I need my man to go somewhere where he can play great basketball all the time and win because he's that type of player.
Are you tampering?
Maybe.
Now, I don't know if he actually is tampering. But he was brought on TNT as an NBA analyst, and this is what analysts do all the time, right?
Yeah, well, he's...
But is it because he's a current player that he's not allowed
player.
To say anything? And I think this is the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, it's kind of... I can see where the NBA is going with it. You cannot have players, active players, going out publicly and saying, my man's got to get out of this situation or that situation. It's a bad look for the league, and I know they all... But at the same time, he... If you bring him on board for something like that and you're in this partnership where you're trying to promote the league and players, then these guys are going to say things like this. And you bet, you,
especially
you have to be
him,
ready
you
for
have
it.
To know that if you bring a Draymond on, Draymond's not going to sugarcoat it,
right?
That would ruin his image and his brand. He's always been a straight shooter. He's going to tell you what it is. He does that in post game interviews all the time.
But when he says that, look, I mean, when he says my man's got to get out of Phoenix, look, Devin Booker is not going to go, well, Draymond Green told me I needed to get out of Phoenix. I better find a way out of Phoenix. Like, you know, an agent's going to be working on the right deal in the right situation. And if Phoenix remains the right situation economically, he'll stay. If it doesn't, he goes. But it's not like the NBA shouldn't be so concerned that Draymond is dictating movement of players. Like, I don't think that's happening.
And being charged $50,000 for, talking.
Right.
And he's not even playing. It's like,
yeah, no kidding.
He's like the guy from Friday. I can't remember Craig from Friday. Right. He's like, you got fired on your day off. Kind of like what he's getting. He's getting fined on his day off.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is Kanye West's presidential bid might be in jeopardy.
I'm going to be dead honest with you. I have no idea. I have no idea what his current status is.
I didn't either until this article popped up, and I was like, oh, really? But apparently, because I thought it flamed out after that South Carolina debacle where he, said Harriet Tubman didn't free black people.
I thought it was already done. It was on. It was off. And then I saw some people showing up to re-register him in some states, but I was like, maybe that's
just on
them.
Well, let's talk about that, Tony, because him being re-registered in some states, you need to get a couple thousand signatures in order to be put on the ballot. Well, Kanye right now is being accused of election fraud by
already?
Several of these states.
That was fast.
Because apparently some of the signatures aren't really linked to people. In fact,
that's kind of what you have to do.
In fact, two of the signatures and a couple of ballots, and they just took one, I think it was Illinois. Some of the signatures, Kanye West's name appeared twice.
So, but is again, can we go back to, can we reset the bar here? Does he have an active campaign or are people doing this?
No, he has an active campaign.
He does.
But he needs, he's getting ready to choose his vice president, which is a Bible worshiper or a Bible leader in Wyoming.
All right, so this is a campaign that started, then it died, now it's back again.
And well, it looks like he's...
Because what I'm trying to get at is, remember when Ross Perot in 92 said he was going to run, he told Larry King, if the voters put me on every ballot in all 50 states, I'll run for president. Well, that, to me, was a statement of, I'm not doing that.
Right.
You can do that,
but I think...
I'm not orchestrating that. So does this story have a Kanye going, I'm not getting signatures, they're getting signatures.
Well,
Some organization is doing that. I have nothing to do with it.
No, it's not.
If they put me on the ballot, but I'm not behind these signatures that are in Illinois in these states.
It's his people, I guess, that are putting it forward. They're just putting random signatures, random names on the ballot or on this
list.
So, like I said, Kanye West's name appeared twice. Bernie Sanders' name appeared in Illinois.
That's funny that Bernie Sanders' signature would be they would choose. Why don't they just make up names?
Well, they almost did. I mean, Mickey Mouse appeared on it, too.
All right, so obviously somebody's doing this as a joke. Like, obviously somebody's trying to get caught.
It sounds like this, right?
This is a real fraud.
Maybe it's Kim saying, I want
maybe they're trying
Kanye
to
stop. Maybe it is. Maybe it's Richard Pryor.
I can come up with 100 names before I'd write Mickey Mouse down.
Right.
I'd be like Bob Stevens, Jim McAllister. I can come up with 100 of those before I put down a cartoon figure.
So right? Yeah, I really don't know what's going to come of this.
I'll give you a hint. He's not going to be elected president. How about that?
No, he won't be elected. Although Nick Cannon said he would vote for Kanye.
Oh, that's good that you got Nick Cannon's vote.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's just so absurd. I mean, this 2020 election, I mean, it's screwed with everything.
Well.
It's kind of dictated
everything
we're doing.
We've gone down this road before, though. We've had celebrities run for president.
Well, no, we've had celebrities run for president, but I'm saying, like, everything else, too. It's dictating how we're living life right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've ever had an election that was like this. Very little about politics than it is about playing politics.
Yeah. We have a president who was never a politician before.
Right.
And then we have another guy that's running against him who's been a politician pretty much as long as I've been alive.
Probably longer.
Right? Like I told my son, I said, when I was in high school, this guy ran for president. He ran in 1988.
Yeah.
I said, when I was in high school, he ran for president. I said, here I am about to send you to college, and he's running again. It's like this after a while, you know, that's the choices we have.
Yeah.
Like one guy that's never been a politician before and another guy that has been a politician for way too long. That's the world we live in. But, you know, democracy. All right. That's the good, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Superstart Batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and the professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Every day. Jay Coffin's going to join us, editor at golfchannel.com. We will talk to him about the PGA Championship coming up in 12 minutes. And who is Colin Morikawa? Name do we got to know? Or could he be one of those guys that disappears into the golf history books? On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Michael, we discussed college football over the weekend with my brother-in-law's place. I bet him no player in sports, college or pro, would die from this virus. You made me realize a 340 offensive lineman definitely falls into the vulnerable category. My bet. Well, not really. I mean, listen, I'm not saying anybody's going to die. I'm just saying that if I'm a athletic director at a college institution and I'm deciding the fate of my college football program, that would be a group of people I would be considering. How would it affect those guys? If all the science is saying that young people get this and are usually okay, most of them are fine, let's say have the pre-existing condition, but there is a risk to some, you know, rather larger individuals that play on my football team, I would be very concerned if I was an athletic director or a coach or a university president. I'm not saying you can't play football. I would just say I'm being concerned. But as I was saying, this weekend went crazy because, again, with the Mac, who said, that's it for us, we're not playing football, this is why we're the Power 5 conferences all were getting together to start having this conversation about whether or not the sport is going to exist down the road. It went from, we're playing, but we're playing under these protocols, and we're going to slow down the season, and we're going to cut it down to just conference games, and we're going to do this testing, and two, I don't even know if we should have it. Thank you, Mac. Thank you for the thanks to the Mid-Atlantic Conference. I just found it weird that it went that fast, that quickly. Now, listen, as I said, Friday after the show, I would have said 80% sure college football was going to happen in some way, shape, or form. I didn't think everyone was going to play, but I thought you'd have some college football.
No, in fact, we had pointed out, I mean, you know, because we were talking UConn.
Yep.
UConn not having a football season for, you know, for safety of the kids. I'm using that in quotation marks. We knew the Ivy League had canceled, but the Ivy League, you know, it's almost like they set a precedent early on. I mean, they were the first ones to cancel.
They were the first ones to cancel everything.
During the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
So that wasn't a surprise. And we said, you know, we knew that there were a couple outlier teams that are going to have, they're going to have issues. They're going to struggle finding people to play, you know, whether they're independents, some of the smaller leagues. I mean, Division II and Division III shut down. I was certain that, hey, we're going to have college football in the fall. It's going to look weird, but we're going to have it.
And now I'm not sure.
Now I was like, well, let's just get through this week and see what happens. It may even come down today, tomorrow. We don't know.
I'm really worried about the NFL, and that's the one sport that I've been, you know, I mean, listen, I love all these other sports, but I'm more of a football-oriented person. I am really nervous that what you're seeing with the St. Louis Cardinals and what you're seeing in the college football discussion that eventually trickles to even when you have a union supporting your plan to play, that there is going to be this breakdown that the sport can't overcome. Like, the NFL just can't make up games. So how is it going to look? What's it going to look like? Are we going to be shutting weeks down? Are we going to be shutting teams down? How is the season going to look like? I doubt it's going to be smooth. I don't think it's going to be 17 weeks of uninterrupted NFL football. But, you know, when you have the support of a union to say, let's play and let's just have some protocol in place, you might be more successful. When you don't, like in college football, and you're leaving it up to athletic directors and university presidents and commissioners to figure out the plan without a real input from the students that are playing the sport, that's when problems can arise. Because it might be, I mean, you're already starting to see the trickle effect of what's going on in like Colorado State, where they were like warning players, don't tell anybody you have symptoms. Like, I mean, that's horrible. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be so unacceptable without, the only way you could do that is if you had an absolute authoritarian aspect to a college football player's life, whereas you don't have that in the NFL. Yeah, you know, Steve Spurrier one time talked about this, right? When he was the coach at Florida, he left to become the coach of the Redskins, and he went to Washington, and he was the coach. He was coach there, and when he left, and he went back to the college game, and ended up at South Carolina. One of the challenges that he felt was, look, he had coached the USFL before. He thought he was dealing, like, he knew how to deal with professional athletes. Yeah, he'd coached the USFL. But what he didn't anticipate was the USFL in the 80s was a bunch of people that were like college kids, like so glad to be part of some sort of football after college that you could pretty much get away with anything as a coach. You could make them do stuff because they were just glad to be there. But when he got to Washington, he wasn't dealing with that kind of athlete anymore. He was dealing with a businessman. Like, I am a businessman. I am a contracted businessman. What I give you is my physical ability for your business. Like, I block people for a living, or I run the ball for a living, or I catch passes for a living, or I throw passes for a living, or I tackle people for a living. That's what I do. And if you'd like these services, here's the contract, and we can arrange a deal where I get paid by you to give you these services. So he could not be this overriding authoritative figure in this person's life. Dictate when you go to bed, what you eat, all that stuff. Because he was dealing with a different level of athlete than he was in college. So when you talk about this college environment where these student athletes, their whole life, they've been just basically dictated from 8 years old all the way up, again, how they're going to live. And you have a coach or a assistant coach, strength and conditioning coach, whatever, saying, yeah, we're not going to be talking about COVID around here. We're not going to be, you have a fever. You better just stay in bed. Don't let anybody know about it. All of a sudden you go, wait a minute, that's an abuse of power. You would not even come close to being able to do that in the NFL. If you told J.J. Watt, yeah, if you get a COVID, you ain't going to tell anybody. He's like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to tell everybody. What are you talking about? What are you going to do to me? I mean, of course I'm going to tell my doctor and I'm going to tell my team. What are you talking about? But you can get away with it in a college environment because, again, there's an authoritative umbrella. And so once you don't have the student bodies, the athletes being able to have these kind of conversations with the administrator saying, hey, we want this, this, and this. We'll play if we get tested this way, and the protocol is this, this, and this. And you're not having a conversation with them. So what you're basically doing is dictating again how these football players are going to live their lives amid the pandemic. No other athlete has been put in that scenario. Because every other athlete is living under the professional guise of having a union and being able to saying this is how we want to do it. Like, the best is the PGA Tour because each player is really an independent contractor. They don't have to go to any tournaments. They can stay home. They can play in 5. They can play in 15. They can do whatever they want. They're not obligated to play in any of them. Right? So what a crazy weekend this was to go from, we're probably going to play in a different way, to we're having conversations that we're going to cancel all of it. All of it, really? That would be amazing. All in 48 hours. Jay Coffin next. We'll talk PGA Championship. And who is Colin Morikawa, the champion, next.
on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you can be with us here on a Monday. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jay Coffin joins us, editor at golfchannel.com on the PGA Championship. What a tournament it was. How are you, Jay?
Hey, I'm doing well. What's going on?
Good. All right. I don't mean any disrespect to Colin Morikawa, but who's Colin Morikawa?
Well, you know, the world now knows who he is, or at least the United States. I was up watching him in prime time last night. Look, he's a 4-year stud at the University of Cal. I mean, so he's one of the, you know, I mean, you sort of equate him to like a Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth type. He's just sort of the next version of one of those kids that he went to school for 4 years and sort of just gained tons and tons and tons of confidence. And really, you know, I mean, we all know how humbling this game is, but early on, he's not really had any sort of roadblocks. And so until golf comes and smacks you in the face, you might as well ride it as long as you can. And he seems to be on a pretty incredible wave here, does he not?
We kind of live in a world where the last thing I saw is the best thing I saw. But when I think of clutch shots in major championships, where does this drive at 16 rank?
Well, it's so hard to tell because you go back, you're automatically going to go to Tiger, right? Tiger chipping in at 16 at the Masters, and you know, I mean, just so many other shots at the Open all his years at St. Andrews, and a lot of U.S. Open shots, and you're gonna think of Phil meltdowns, and there's a lot of things you're gonna think about. But you're right, we're always a prisoner of the moment. But I mean, there was nothing wrong with that, huh? I mean, he all week said he wasn't gonna hit driver there, and then for some reason on Sunday came up and liked the wind and liked the distance and liked how his body was feeling, and said, hey, let's go ahead and hit the driver. So kind of just a game time decision, just a split second decision. His caddy was getting ready to give him an iron. He goes, no, give me the driver, and then does what he does. So it's, yes, it's the shot was terrific. You know, capping it off with the putt obviously made the previous shot even better, but sort of how it all went down mentally and just not planning on doing it. And then all of a sudden doing it and pulling it off. The entire package is just spectacular.
In terms of Harding Park and how it was set up, it looked nice on TV. It looked great. From a challenge standpoint, it looked like there was rough, there was some difficulty, but there was birdies and scoring to be had. Overall, how did the course hold up for this championship?
Yeah, and look, I think, you know, you look at the scoring right there. I mean, 13 under par is a good solid number, and then you've got some 11s and 10s. You know, but there also, you know, again, there weren't more than, you know, what, probably, you know, 30, 35 people who are under par in general. So I think, you don't necessarily look at the top to see how you think it played, but you go down in that middle and right around even par is pretty good. But that, look, this is something the PGA kind of gets knocked for years for being the fourth major or being the one that people don't pay attention to as much. But I got to tell you, man, they just, when do you ever recall there being a debacle on how they set up the golf course at that major?
Right.
It's never, honestly, I cannot think of it. I'm sure it's happened, but I can't. I've been around golf since 1997. So in the last 23 years, I cannot think of a time that they booted the setup. And this is what they do well. They make it hard on certain times. They make it easier on certain times. But what they do is they always make it fair, and they never push it to the limit. They never fry the greens. They never make the rough too long. They play it as it was intended to be played. And you just can't knock the results. It's a beautiful thing. They do a terrific job with the golf course.
This might be a larger picture answer, but the hole at 16, for example, is that kind of an opportunity for golf to say, look, guys are bombing at 340 down the fairway, but we can do this sort of thing with our par fours where you are set up with go for it, not go for it, iron, driver, try to reach the green. Because that was a fun hole to watch, and it wasn't, you know, it's yeah. not 500 yards long.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it makes you think that, I mean, every tour event, every week, every tour event, every week ought to have something that plays right around 280 to 320, should it not?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
but, you know, but also, though, yeah, I mean, you get sometimes, though, some of these major, I know U.S. Opens where you get par threes that are up to 250, 260.
Right.
So, I mean, we're starting to blur the lines of par, which I guess doesn't really matter at the end of the day because it's always low score win. But you're right. I mean, I think that majors are where you can pull it off a little bit more than usual as well, because you kind of give the guys a reprieve, right? You punch them in the face for 4 hours. The least you can do is give them 10, 15 minutes of joy. And so I think that's what they've done here. And you know, the U.S. Open does it well. You know, there's a couple of shorties at the Masters, nothing totally drivable. And then the Open, you never know because of wind directions or whatever. But yeah, it's 16 was kind of a star of the show before Colin Morikawa did what he did, because there's just so much strategy there. It's short and you think just stand up there and blast it, but it's just not that easy. You know, I mean, Bryson DeChambeau, I think, hit a 5-wood or a 3-wood over the back.
Right.
Because he's such a monster right. these days. But it's just so much strategy in something so short is beautiful.
Obviously, he won this tournament. Did you feel like anybody lost it? Did anybody really kind of faltered enough that the championship was kind of theirs and they gave it away?
I mean, DJ is the, I guess, the obvious answer, but he still shot 2-under on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, to expect him to have shot, you know, 66, there still weren't a ton of 66s out there. You know, I mean, a couple three putts early on that now we're not going to really go back to look at them. Maybe we should, that maybe that did it. But I mean, Paul Casey shooting 4-under, Jason Day, Bryson, Tony Finau, some 4-under scores that were still 2 and 3 shots back. I mean, you just can't expect those guys to shoot much better than that on a Sunday with everything on the line that was on the line. So I guess DJ maybe, but I think that's also, you know, you kind of go towards him just because of his past history and not being able to close any of these out except for one. So I'm not saying I feel bad for DJ, but, you know, the focus is going to be on him there sitting 2 back and made a birdie on the last hole to sneak into a tie for second. But no, I don't, it was looking like it for a time there, wasn't it? I mean, there's 15, 16 people within a shot or two of the lead. And I'm like, oh my God, somebody's about ready to puke all over themselves coming down the stretch. And it wasn't so visible of a puking as much of it as it was Colin Morikawa jumping up and grabbing it.
You said something earlier that said, listen, this game is a humbling game, and we're seeing that now with the way Jordan Spieth is playing. What is your analysis of his game right now? Is there something that he's lacking or he's trying too hard to do? How do we make sense of what's happened to him?
Oh man, I don't know, and it stinks, because golf is better when Jordan Spieth is you know, talking to his golf ball,
yep.
you know, late on a Sunday and for the whole world to see, whether you like it or not, it's better. I feel like every week, you know, one of those first 2 days, when he plays, there's a round that, oh, hey, this is the round. And then it's quickly followed up by a round that is just out of nowhere so bad. I mean, him playing with Justin Thomas on Saturday had to have been embarrassing for him when there was like an 8-shot difference between the two of them after the first 4 holes.
Right.
You know, and those guys have been buddies for a long time. So I don't know. I think he has to be trying too hard at this point, right?
That's what I'm
thinking,
right?
So much skill, right? I mean, he has so much skill. I mean, he doesn't hit it long and he doesn't hit it straight in, but I mean, how many putts did he make there in that 2 or 3 year span? I mean, that was Tiger-like, making everybody needed to make. And so I think sometimes you try so hard that it just permeates through the entirety of your game. So, you know, you're worrying about trying to hit it long and getting it in the fairway, and you're frustrated with that. But somehow the frustration creeps down into your putting, which was the one thing that always bailed you out. And so he's not really doing anything particularly well, you know, for a guy who, when he was playing well, was just on fire with his short game. That was the one thing that kept him in it, that
that was able to let him capitalize on the big moment. So when you don't, when you're not even doing the best thing that you've done well for years, when you're not doing that well at all, it can't help but stress you out and make you press and just make you try harder and harder and harder. And right now it's going backwards. And I really do truly hate to see it.
Yeah, me too. I will tell you, and I know a lot of, we've had a lot of stars, you know, in the sport have come up, but I don't get to go to a lot of golf tournaments, but I was at the PGA Championship at Baltusrol, and he was a rock star. I mean, an absolute rock star. I was saying, I brought my kids with me, and I said, this guy, everywhere he went, they were moving people to just get him from point A to point B. And I said, this is the next guy. I mean, he was coming off that year, and now he's sort of disappeared. And you're right. It's, I want to see him come back.
Yeah, I do too. And it's even, to your point right there is, you know, my son's 13, and he's a big Jordan Spieth fan, and he wears a bunch of Under Armour stuff, and he's getting to the point where he's playing in golf tournaments with 13- and 14-year-olds who are wearing Under Armour gear.
Yeah, right,
and why are they doing that? There's only one reason why they're doing that, because when they were 8, 9, and 10, you know, and while starting to watch golf and getting involved in the game, there's one guy that they were looking at. They're not wearing Nike stuff as much as they were in the past decade because of you-know-who. They're wearing some of the Under Armour stuff because of Spieth, and that's why it's kind of hard. The whole package is kind of hard to stomach, because you're right. He was a rock star. I feel like he will be again, but the longer it goes without him finding something, the more doubt you have to have.
That's right. Jay, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you having him on this morning after a night of primetime golf. Appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
You got it. Jay Coffin, editor, golfchannel.com. It was good stuff talking Jordan Spieth especially. But Colin Morikawa, as I told you at the start of this show this morning, I had to really look him up. I did. I'm sorry. I should know him like the back of my hand, but I didn't. And after he won, I said, let me find out some more details about this young man and his game. And what stood out to me the most was reading different articles about his win down at Memorial and beating Justin Thomas in a playoff, and how many golfers said, this guy has it. I mean, everyone was being very complimentary, as you normally would expect, but there was that extra in the comments of all these golfers that said, this guy really can play at the highest level. He really could be the next superstar. Hey, one of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask. Not all offer the same comfort and protection, so that's why I wear Boomer Naturals. 3-layer, comfortable, highly breathable mask. Had a great weekend this weekend, doing some shopping, wore the mask the whole time. Breathable, the right word. Extra breathable is an even better word, because it was very comfortable. They come in sizes for adults, teens, and children, are in stock now, ship to you fast, and they have the nano silver technology woven into the fabric. It can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and mouth. That's what we need right now, best protection. It also offers those nano silver neck gaiters as well. Order now at boomernaturals.com and use the promo code Tony. Save 20%. That's promo code Tony at boomernaturals.com, and get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at boomernaturals.com. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this is our Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks to Jay Coffin, golfchannel.com. I got a little... So Jordan Spieth, as I said earlier, at Baltusrol in 2016. PGA Championship, it was late July. It was a year after he had won the Masters and the U.S. Open. So he... And there was also, I believe, in the Masters, he was leading and then plopped a couple in the water at 12. But when I tell you this kid was a rock star, I mean a rock star, I couldn't believe it. Listen, I've been around sports. I've covered everything. I've covered NASCAR races with Jeff Gordon in the field. I've been everywhere. And I've never seen the amount of people that were needed to move somebody from point A to point B in a crowd level atmosphere. Now here's the deal. I've never seen Tiger Woods at a tournament. He never came to the International when I was there. And Tiger wasn't playing in the 2016 PGA. So he wasn't there either, but the amount of people it took to get Jordan Spieth from point A to point B, whether it's the putting green or the first tee, wherever, it was moving mountains to get, I mean, everybody wanted a piece of this kid, and he was right. Jay Coffin was right. Kids loved him. That was the big thing, was the kids. The kids were swarming this kid. So my daughter, I took my daughter to the practice rounds, and she wanted, we were in the gift shop looking for some stuff, and she said, "Hey, can I get this ball? It's like a big golf ball that you could get autographs." I go, "Yeah, let's get that for you and get some autographs." So she was getting autographs from everybody. Like, all the golfers were coming by the putting green, she would sign her ball. And but she wanted Jordan Spieth. So I said, "Well, honey, that's going to be hard to get because he's going to get mobbed as soon as he comes off the driving range. Everyone's going to want him." So I said, "But if you stand here, you hold the ball, maybe he'll see you and he'll sign because he likes to sign for kids." So she did. So she's got her ball. And Jordan Spieth comes by and he's signing everything. And my daughter's got a ball. She reaches out. And as she reaches out, this guy comes over the top of my daughter, sticks a piece of paper in front of Jordan Spieth. And Spieth signs it. He doesn't, the guys are signing. They're not really noticing. He's literally, and I'm telling the guy, "Hey, back off, back off." He just sticks a paper in front of my daughter, and Jordan Spieth signs it. Thank God. And I wish I could find these people. As Spieth was moving down the line, a bunch of people started screaming at him that he missed the girl. They're like, "Can you get the girl? Can you get the girl?" Because of the guy who reached over my daughter to get the... And Spieth came back, smiled at my daughter, said hi, signed the ball, and gave it to her. But I was furious. I thought I was going to come to blows with that guy. But thank God somebody pointed it out. But Jordan Spieth was seriously a rock star, and it's sad to see him fall apart. But congratulations, Colin Morikawa. Jake Asman Show coming up next, Sports Map Radio Network.